step by step.
I want to welcome everybody to the Fort Lauderdale Primary Purpose Big Book Study Group Thursday Night Alcoholics and God Speaker Step Series. Let's have our joke now. Here's Spencer.
Hey, my name is Spencer, alcoholic joke teller. And I've got another one from Take Me to Your Sponsor, Best Jokes and Cartoons from AA Grapevine. One Saturday night, an AA speaker got up to tell his story. "I graduated from Harvard Law School," he told the crowd. "I was appointed ambassador to China, was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize for my diplomacy, and then the Pulitzer Prize for my book. There were two old-timers in the back row, and one leaned over to the other and said, 'By golly, now we got somebody.' Then the speaker continued, 'Then I joined AA, and my sponsor told me to quit telling lies.'"
Thank you, Spencer. I'm a recovered alcoholic. My name is Guy. Yeah, I'm a member of this group, and now we're going to have our secretary's report. Don, could you come up and help us out?
Hey, I'm Don, and I'm your recovered alcoholic secretary. In keeping with the seventh tradition, which states every group shall be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions, the baskets are going around now. We also have QR codes on the chair backs. All right. Now, I've asked Kenneth to read the recovered statement. Kenneth.
I'm Kenneth, a recovering alcoholic. Recovered. We are not cured of alcoholism. Recovered, but not cured. That presents a conflict to some alcoholics. If we were cured, we would be able to drink responsibly. No, we are not cured. The allergic reaction to alcohol will remain with us for our lifetime. But we have been restored to sanity. That was the problem. The main problem of the alcoholic centers in his mind rather than his body. We are now sane where alcohol is concerned. Consequently, we have recovered.
Okay.
1940-style Big Book sponsorship. From Forward to the Second Edition, Alcoholics Anonymous, of alcoholics who came to AA and really tried, 50% got sober at once and remained that way. 25 sobered up after some relapses, and among the remainder, those who stayed on with AA showed some improvement. What we've seen, felt, come to believe, and experienced is that God has not changed over time, and neither should the sacred approach back to his loving arms. The statistics above suggest a 25% success rate. If anyone is looking for a sponsor, please stand. All right, or if you're shy, hang out by the piano here and someone will awkwardly greet you. Let's get these folks back into the arms of God. Can all the recovered alcoholics raise their hand? All right, got a room full of them tonight. Now, if your hand wasn't raised, we suggest you hang out with those who were. All right, we have some screen announcements. Here we go. Intergroup. Intergroup is where you can buy AA-related literature and medallions. Intergroup is also responsible for creating our Where and When and scheduling the AA hotline. Stop by and visit them. Next slide, please. All right, we have BCIC. BCIC is responsible for bringing meetings into places where people like us can't get out to an AA meeting, such as jails, detoxes, and rehabs. They meet monthly to organize, and the meeting schedules at the 12-step house. Do we have any members of the BCIC committee out here tonight? Hey, Jay. Oh, second one, Thomas. Cool.
Thomas.
Yeah. Usually it's just Jay. I'm glad we got two tonight. Next slide. All right. Here are some upcoming service opportunities. Flyers in the back. Oh, Traditions Workshop. Traditions 4 through 6, Sunday, December 8th from 3 to 5. We have BCIC Appreciation, and they're giving away a free lunch. You can't beat a free lunch, man. And Tom M., after Stevie B., we got Tom M. Ring out. Let's start the new year good with Tom M. starting on January 2nd. And we got Stevie B. four more times, man. What a treat that is. And Monday, we have a big book study on Monday at 7:15. We just finished Bill's story, and we're rolling on. So it's a good time to hop in if you want to know more about the big book and the 12 steps and all that. That's it. Let's see here. For more information on these events, flyers in the back of our literature table. And, of course, here's our home groups. Oh, I already said that. Monday night Big Book Study Workshop, where the big book comes alive. Join us for fellowship at 6:30. Workshop starts at 7:15. All righty then. We have CDs, mugs, large print, big books, little red books, and big book dictionaries for sale. We meet every Thursday, starting promptly at 7:15. We ask that you be courteous and ready to begin at the Road to Recovery tune. Enjoy tonight's workshop. Take it away, guy.
Thanks for joining us tonight. In a minute, we're going to start our two-minute meditation. So please take a moment to get situated. Please turn off all devices that make noise or that will distract others. Take this time to get connected to God. Let the craziness of the day drift away and ask God to help us stay focused on the step study tonight. Is everybody ready? All right, let's go.
Thank you.
We're going to say the fog light prayer. God. There is a solution from the big book, page 17. The tremendous fact for every one of us is that we have discovered a common solution. We have a way on which we can absolutely agree and upon which we can join in brotherly and harmonious action. This is the great news this book carries to those who suffer from alcoholism. And I've asked Chris to read from the appendix to the spiritual experience. Now, we read this because the main purpose of the 12 steps is to have one, so we kind of want to know what one is like.
I'm Chris. I'm an alcoholic. Spiritual experience. The terms spiritual experience and spiritual awakening are used many times in this book, which, upon careful reading, shows that the personality change sufficient to bring about recovery from alcoholism has manifested itself among us in many different forms. Yet it is true that our first printing gave many readers the impression that these personality changes or religious experiences must be in the nature of a sudden and spectacular upheaval. Happy for everyone, this conclusion is erroneous. In the first few chapters, a number of sudden revolutionary changes are described. Though it was not our intention to create such an impression, many alcoholics have nevertheless concluded that in order to recover, they must acquire an immediate and overwhelming God consciousness, followed at once by a vast change in feeling and outlook. Among our rapidly growing membership of thousands of alcoholics, much transformations, though frequent, are by no means the rule. Most of our experiences are what the psychologist William James calls the educational variety because they develop slowly over a period of time. Quite often, friends of the newcomer are aware of the difference long before he is himself. He finally realizes that he has undergone a profound alteration in his reaction to life, that such a change could hardly have been brought about by himself alone. What often takes place in a few months could be seldom have been accomplished by years of self-discipline. With few exceptions, our members find that they have tapped an unsuspected inner resource which they presently identify with their own conception of a power greater than themselves. Most of us think this awareness of a power greater than ourselves is the essence of spiritual experience. Our more religious members call it God consciousness. Most emphatically, we wish to say that any alcoholic capable of honestly facing his problems in the light of our experience can recover, provided he does not close his mind to all spiritual concepts. He can only be defeated by an attitude of intolerance or belligerent denial. We find that no one need have difficulty with the spirituality of the program. Willingness, honesty, and open-mindedness are the essentials of recovery, but these are indispensable. There is a principle which is a bar against all information, which is proof against all arguments, and which cannot fail to keep a man in everlasting ignorance. That principle is contempt prior to investigation. Herbert Spencer, Alcoholics Anonymous, pages 567, 568.
Please refrain from disturbing others by talking or constantly getting up and sitting back down. You know, this is a tech-free meeting, so please turn your phones off, no texting, or put them in airplane mode. And tonight we've got our special speaker for his second session. He's going to do a terrific job, as always. Welcome, Stevie B.
I like that, special speaker.
Hi, everybody. My name is Stevie B. I'm a grateful believer. I'm a recovered alcoholic, and I'm blessed to be here with you guys tonight. And I want to just preface this that there's people that are here tonight for the first time. We have two people that are here tonight for their very first meeting. So let's give a round of applause for that, because that's awesome. All I got to meet a new friend. Welcome home, brother. Welcome home. And you're off the hook. You never have to take another drink or drug again, ever, even if you want to. You're home. And then we have Beatrice, who's, seven weeks, right? It's her first meeting, 7 weeks, Beatrice. And both her parents, yeah. Both her parents are alcoholics, so she's been grandfathered in here. And they both have 7 years. And her grandfather, her great-grandfather, so her great-grandfather is a man by the name of Dion, and he's got, I think, 55 years. So she comes from some real long line of alkies. So hopefully she can just visit and doesn't have to be here. Now, if you don't know what alcoholism is, there's a chapter in the big book, and it's called More About Alcoholism. And we have these readings, so for those of us that have been here a very long time, we may hear the readings and maybe not hear the words. And so tonight, as I was preparing, I was looking at More About Alcoholism in chapter 3, and I was looking at it with different eyes, or eye. Most of us have been unwilling to admit we were real alcoholics. Just that statement there really sums it all. I never wanted to admit I was a real alcoholic. And for years, I was in AA, and I admitted that I was a real drug addict. But I would never admit I was a real alcoholic, because my first step was really more about drugs, and it wasn't about alcohol. So I was here for 7 years in Alcoholics Anonymous and never could say that I was an alcoholic. I would only say I was an alcoholic in front of people, but then really, like, behind the scenes, I would say, I'm not really an alcoholic. I really like Alcoholics Anonymous, but I'm really a drug addict like Hunter, and I just come to Alcoholics Anonymous. But so this is what happened. If you're not willing to admit that you're an alcoholic, then you're not going to want to admit that you need any of this. So one of the first steps that we're going to need is that we're going to need to admit to our innermost self, what is that, the inside self, that we're alcoholic. And don't freak out. There's a bunch of us. If you're in this room tonight, you're in good company. There's a bunch. What does that mean? What does alcoholic mean? You may not even know what that means. So here in More About Alcoholism, which I just think is amazing, it gives the characteristics of alcoholics. So countless vain attempts to prove that we can drink like normal people, like other people. So we try to drink like other people. We go to the bar, we go to the house, we go to wherever. We try to drink like other people. We see another person at the end of the bar or at the end of the house that's drinking like a normal person, and we look like that person. So it rightfully, I would assume that I could drink like that other person. And for the first two drinks, we are drinking, you know, very, very similarly. Maybe not at the same speed, because I order two at a time, but so maybe not at the same speed, but definitely in the same family, right? So, and then the next line says that the idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. And I think that because we read this all the time, it's kind of lost its power. Because if you really break it down, when we watch other people on the beach, or we watch other people at a bar, or we watch other people at a game or sports game or in tailgate, there is something in us that says someday when nobody's watching, when maybe everyone is gone, you may, and I got like 35 years and I'm old. No, I'm not pointing at guy. I was just pointing in a general area. I had nothing to do with guy. That I'm going to go to a game after years and years, and I'll be able to have one. And that's the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. So if you're here tonight and you even think that you would have that obsession, or you currently have that obsession that you're able to drink like normal, I want you to know something. Normal drinkers don't obsess about other normal drinkers. They never even think about other normal drinkers. Other normal drinkers don't think about other people that are normal drinkers. They like Russell says, they say, pass the salt. It doesn't even come up. But myself, even though I'm sober now, God willing, I'll be sober this time, 23 years in the month of January, praise God. It's a clappable deal for me. It's not the most amount of time. It's the most amount of time I've had. Yeah. I wasn't saying you should clap. I'm just saying for me, it's listen, for my mom, it's clappable right there. That's my mom. She's clapping because, yeah, okay, enough clapping. And because she dropped me off at the Fort Lauderdale Hospital, which is around the corner from this meeting. So for her, she's clapping, right? She's clapping because 23 years ago, I absolutely destroyed our family, my marriage, my relationship with my parents. I destroyed my parents' retirement. My parents were completely retired. They were living in New York. Everything was fine. They had a beautiful place down here in the beach in Hollywood. And they had to come out of retirement to come and try to save my life down here right after 9/11. So trust me, it's a big deal for them. It's a big deal for my dad's in heaven, may God rest his soul. He went to be with God with 28 years of sobriety. But it's a big deal for my mom every January 3rd when I pick up my medallion. It's a big deal in our family because 23 years ago I was underneath the steps in the house in the luggage closet in underwear. So it's a big change. So what happens if we cannot admit to our innermost self that we're alcoholic? Many of us pursue this insanity into death. And so tonight is step two. And step two is came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. And I was already in AA 6.5 years, and I was not willing to admit anything that was greater than me. You know, I really felt I was the bomb. I thought the only defects I had, the only problem I had was drinking and drugging. Everything else was totally phenomenal. I believed I liked me. But the truth of the matter is if I looked into a mirror when no one else was around, I didn't like anything about me. So I kept a whole facade going. I kept a whole show going with the muscles, with the steroids, with the car, with the gold chains, with the hair gel, massive amounts of hair gel. And to me, as long as I had all that going on, then there was somewhat of an semblance of order. And the moment one of those things would go astray, I would go astray. One of those things was not perfect, I would feel not perfect. If the car was dirty or if I didn't have the car was broken down or I missed the gym for a couple weeks. If anything was out of order, I was out of order. Because this whole program is designed as an inside job for a God-sized hole. Nothing you're going to put on the outside is going to fix what's going on the inside. And trust me, there's multimillionaires in this room tonight that'll tell you that the money did not fix this God-sized hole. Right? Doesn't fix the God-sized hole. The only thing that fixes the God-sized hole is God. So it says we men and women were alcoholics who have lost the ability to control our drinking. And this is the last part I'm going to talk about, the drinking. This is just a little recap of step one last week. There was times I would be able to drink and I could have one drink. There was times that I could have two drinks. There was times I could have a drink on a Monday and not have a drink until the very next Monday. There was even times that I could have a drink and not even have a drink for another 2 weeks. None of that is an indicator if I am an alcoholic or not. Excuse me, or not. Here's what it is for me. It's the inability to control our drinking. I don't know what's going to happen. And I have a true story that Paul's heard a million times and Matt's heard a million times because my mom's heard a million times. But I have, for those of you that haven't heard the story, I have to tell the story. So I hadn't had a drunk in 7 years. 7 years sober, hadn't drunk in 7 years. And I decide that I'm not an alcoholic. I look at the big book. I'm not an alcoholic. I know I'm a drug addict. I'm not an alcoholic. So the big book says if you don't feel like you're an alcoholic, you should go out and try some controlled drinking so that you can prove to yourself if you are or not. It doesn't say don't drink. It says if you don't feel you're an alcoholic, go out and try some controlled drinking. And so I decided I was going to try some controlled drinking. And I did. I was trying some controlled drinking at home, and it was going good. And the only reason it was going good is because my wife was in control of the house. So my controlled drinking is because I married a Colombian woman that carried a machete. Which, John, you understand how that is. And so she threatened me that if I drank and I got drunk, because she has a machete, that I would have to go back to Alcoholics Anonymous. So for that reason, I didn't get drunk. My mom would say, I did not get drunk in the house. I did not. What I did was I took a plane to Minnesota, which is where I got sober. I got sober in Minnesota at 21 years old. I went to a treatment center for young people. And then one of my other friends who also had 7 years of sobriety but also was in relapse, he flew out there and met me. And we had this plan. We were going to do drunk. But controlled drunk, not crazy drunk, not drug drunk, not police drunk. We were going to do controlled drunk. And I went to the bar. This is going to be my first drunk in 7 years. And had the whole thing planned. We didn't do we didn't drive. You know, we were driven there. And I ordered my first drink. And the bartender comes over and I say, I'd like to have a fuzzy navel. Because my only memory of drinks were from when I was in college, which was, you know, 11 years earlier. So I'm starting to order the drinks that I used to drink, you know, when I was in college. So I said, I'd like to have a fuzzy name. I didn't even know what a fuzzy name was. Just remember, this is what I drank, and I ordered a fuzzy name. The first drink comes in, and I am the life of the party, because now I'm now, because you'll know, my friend, the first, that makes you loose, and that, the big book says there's nothing that as quick that works as alcohol to make us, that to loosen that noose that's around our stomach. So that first drink works. If I could do one drink, I wouldn't need to be here with you on a Thursday night. That first drink worked. I was the life of the party. My accent was a lot thicker back then. In the Midwest, my accent is really thick. I'm putting on the whole show. Guys, where are you from? I'm like, I'm from New York. They're like, what do you do? I'm like, I said I was an actor. They go, what have you been in? I'm like, all the big movies. Do you know Joe Pesci? Of course. Do you know Sylvester Stallone? Of course. I'm Italian. I'm from New York. They loved it. Everybody's around me, high-fiving me. I'm buying people drinks in the bar. Drink two comes in, and I don't remember what drink two was, but it was something fancy. I'm still having an amazing time. Drink three came along, and I order a pitcher of kamikazes because that's what we drank in college. And when that happened, another guy came out, a guy that I hadn't met in like 7 years. And I didn't know he was coming out. See, I lost the ability to control who would show up for the party. And I forgot about that. And the same guys that were high-fiving me and, hey, can we get your autograph? Of course. And what were you in? Good. Didn't you see Goodfellas? I'm the guy in the back. When the kamikazes came in, somehow I thought I was De Niro, and I said to the guy, are you talking to me? Like that, just like that. And the guy goes, yeah, of course I'm talking to you. You just ordered me chicken fingers. And I go, are you trying to disrespect? Like, everything changed. Next thing you know, I'm throwing people over the bar. I have lost the ability to control what is going to happen with the first drink because I have an allergy accompanied with an obsession. And if you don't know what that means, there's a great chapter, there's a great preface in our big book, and it's called The Doctor's Opinion. And it's the opinion of a doctor by the name of Silkworth that did work with people like us. Now, if any of that, now I'm not saying the violent streak, because if you're not a violent person, you know, can't forget about the violent part. You need to insert yourself losing the wallet, driving drunk. I loved the speaker last week, Karina. She said that she slept with people that she wouldn't ordinarily have lunch with. Matter of fact, there's women in meetings right now around the country that are talking about me in the same extent. They're like, I remember some guy and I woke up, he had one eye and he was gone, you know. So maybe to our friend that's here tonight, you're already starting to relate and realize that there's an answer. We are here with years and days and months of sobriety that'll tell you that we are not a glum lot. We have a great time. And behind me, you'll see a thing that says chop wood and carry water, which means there's going to be work to do. Alcoholics Anonymous is not a spectator program. It's not self-help. It's there is going to be work to do. What does that mean, work? Chopping wood and carrying water means if you don't do that, no one gets fed at the campsite. No one gets fed in your family. If you don't do the work, you'll be a sick or even sicker than you were before you came in or when you came in, because it's going to take work to battle alcoholism. That's not alcoholism. It's alcoholism, which means we have it today. When I say I'm a recovered alcoholic, it's not that I've recovered from alcoholism. I've recovered from being a mental case that has mental issues surrounding thinking that I don't have mental issues. I recovered from a seemingly hopeless state of mind and body that used to tell me that I could take one drink, I'd wind up in Broward jail, and then say, what is a great guy like me doing here next to Chooch the dealer? I mean, what am I doing here? I call my mom, I call my wife, and this is a whole misunderstanding. Yes, I know they say that I have a 6 felony car crash, but and I'm in the Miami jail system, but this is a misunderstanding. I had so many misunderstandings when I was drinking, it was unbelievable. When I needed to get money from my mom, one, and this is true, when I was going to school in the Poconos, and I hit a deer, 1 week I hit a deer. And if you've ever hit a deer, deer do a lot of damage to the car. And I was a waiter. I was a destination waiter, which means you wait on the same table for an entire week. And at the end of the week, they give you an envelope. The Jews, the Italians, the Irish, they all give you the envelope. And I wasn't going to be able to get the envelope because I had got hit by a deer, or I hit the deer. Either way, we hit each other. And my car was destroyed. And I called up my mom. I said, Mom, my car is destroyed. She said, well, we're gonna wire you money to fix the car. I was hitting deer every week. Every week was another deer. I was like the deer hunter of the Poconos. So you can imagine the devastation that I did for my family with the lies, the manipulation, the stories. And an alcoholic is a person that can tell a story so much that it becomes truth. And we can pass a lie detector test. We can beat the FBI has nothing on us. We can tell it over and over and over again until it becomes an alcoholic truth. And one of the truths that we tell ourselves is that we can continue to drink. But the second step says, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves, not ourselves, can restore us to sanity. And if we can tap into that power, that's where the change starts to happen. Is it, do we change? No, but that's where the change starts to happen. This is a big deal for me, this area. Fort Lauderdale is a big deal for me because this is where I got sober and this is where I also relapsed. But more importantly, because I got sober. And I was living in a halfway house around the corner from here. And not because I wanted to move into a halfway house. Not that I ever had dreams in college. I said, what is your dream? My dream is to someday own a house and then have that house taken from me because of drinking and then move into someone else's house that you don't own and it's not a full house. It's called a halfway house. That wasn't a dream of mine. But somehow, because I could take one drink after 7 years, I signed that house away to my beautiful wife. My parents went and got divorce papers drawn. I wasn't served. I was served with a restraining order. And they came over to the Fort Lauderdale Hospital. Want to know what Josh is? Josh, right down the street. And they served me with a restraining order, which I had never had a restraining order. All new things. And the guy comes in and he goes, we want to invite you to come live at Liberty House, which is a halfway house. I said, bro, I have a full house in Hollywood. I'm not into your house. He goes, well, this is called the restraining order. You're homeless as of tomorrow. And then, of course, I say, okay, tell me about the amenities of your halfway house. And the next thing you know, I'm living in Liberty House with Stinky Feet Mason and Eddie. And my journey starts there at a meeting called the Victory AA meeting, which I know some of you guys. I know a guy from there and some of you guys. And my buddy Eddie comes in. I didn't know him, but he came in and he was also a relapse. He was also a newly back sober relapse guy. Relapse means that you were sober and that you went back to drinking. It's called a relapse. Some people call it a slip. I don't call it a slip. I call it a relapse. Slipping to me is like you slip on a banana peel and you wind up in a vodka bottle. And it seems difficult. So I'm in the meeting, and they say, is anybody here for under 30 days? I raise my hand for under 30 days. And the guy next to me is a guy named Eddie, and he raises his hand for under 30 days. And we both meet each other, and it turns out we're roommates at this halfway house. We didn't even know it. It wasn't associated with it. We go home that day, and it turns out we're roommates. And everything is going great, and I get my old sponsor back. I call Jerry Bear, tough Jewish guy from Manhattan. I call him, and I tell him I want him. Can you sponsor me? I go, I relapsed. He goes, shocking. Just like that. I say, I need direction. He said, well, I'm going to give you the first direction. You're going to start praying on your knees in the detox. And you're going to start asking God to keep you clean and sober in the detox. And then at nighttime, you're going to ask him, you're going to say to him, thank you for keeping you clean and sober. Simple directions. Not a lot of interpretation. I'm already balking. He's Jewish. I'm Catholic. I start playing the Catholic Jewish thing. I'm like, Jerry, a lot of Catholics, we don't pray on our knees outside of Mass. It's kind of a sin. He goes, I don't care what religion you call yourself. If you want me to be your sponsor, you're going to start praying on your knees in the detox for God to keep you clean and sober. And you're going to pray on your knees at the end of the day, and you're going to say thank you. And so I start doing that. I get out. I get to the halfway house. I'm praying on my knees. Everything's going good. I'm showering. I know when you're. I don't know about you. I'm not a big showerer when I'm drinking. I'm not a big eating guy. I'm not a big making my bed guy. I'm not a hygiene guy. I'm not a big shaver guy. I'm kind of like a drinking guy. And so I'm shaving and I'm showering and I'm eating and my ego returns. And I'm sober about 30 days and I'm already doing stuff in the halfway house that is very questionable. And I come up with this plan. Even though I'm praying on my knees in the morning and I'm asking God to keep me clean and sober and I'm thanking him at night, I come up with this alcoholic plan for me to get high one more time, for me to get drunk one more time. Because this is a good area to get drunk. There's a lot of good drinking around here. And so I come up with this plan that I'm going to tell my wife, who has a restraining order against me, which means I can't call her, that I need to have $199 for a cell phone. And so I do that. The plan is in motion. You see, I'm on my knees and I'm asking God to keep me clean and sober, but I haven't turned my will and my life over to the care of God. Maybe I didn't get to the third step yet. I'm not sure exactly what happened. But inside me, and I said it last week, is good Steve and bad Steve. And who I feed wins, and who I starve dies. Came to believe that a power greater than myself could restore me to sanity. I know nothing about it. I'm praying on my knees, and I come up with, while I'm on my knees, I come up with the plan to get high one more time. And here's the plan. Call your wife, get the $199, because I'm a guy that doesn't go out on a run with no money. I notice some of you guys like to go on runs with no money. That's very, entrepreneurial of you, but I think you should do some better planning. And so I call her up and I say, sweetheart, she already knows that, something's wrong. What's up? Can I have money? She puts me on hold and she calls her sponsor from Al-Anon, and I didn't know she was in Al-Anon. And Al-Anon is this amazing program that teaches people that are in relationship with us how to hear if we're lying, which is basically our lips are moving. And they come up with this plan, and our sponsor says, give them the money. Give me the 100. I'm 30 days clean. I'm a drug addict, alcoholic. They give me 109. They set me up. Which I've looked at the bylaws of Al-Anon, and I think that something is wrong. And I get the money, and I come up with this plan. I'm going to go down to the Sprint store on Broward Boulevard and Federal Highway. I'm going to buy the cheapest cell phone they have, And after I get that cell phone, I'm going to call my wife. I'm going to tell her I'm at a meeting. I'm going to call the halfway house manager, which is Jeff Weinstein. I'm going to tell him at a meeting, and then I'm going to get loaded for 3 hours. Then I'm going to stop abruptly at a certain time, which is 3 o'clock. I'm going to rush home. I'm going to shower, shave, and brush my teeth. And by the time my roommates come home, I'm going to look like the epitome of, you know, serenity. And I'm going to be like, hey, how you doing? How was your day? Billy, you can relate to what I'm saying. And so I get to the thing, and I say to the guy behind the counter, give me the cheapest cell phone you have. I need to be out of here right now. And listen to what God does for me, for this guy, for this alcoholic, this nobody. Garden variety alcoholic. He sends me to the one guy from Alcoholics Anonymous that happened to be at the meeting from the day before, from the Victory AA meeting. And Drew, that just celebrated 24 years of sobriety last week, stands up from the counter, and he's tall. He's like endless tall. And he says, Stevie B, I saw you yesterday in the Victory AA meeting. Welcome back. And the hand of AA was in the Sprint store 23 years ago for me on the day that I was going to go get loaded. And how I work a step two is I start doing things that are different, and God does things that are different. I start praying on my knees, and he starts showing up when I'm on my knees. I start asking him for sobriety, and he sends me to the guy in AA at the Sprint store by the name of Drew, who says to me, welcome back. We saw you yesterday in AA. And step two becomes not some step in a book, step two becomes reality for me. I start seeing that the things that I'm doing differently are making me believe and come to believe that there is a power that's greater than me. And if I turn my power over to that or even believe in that, I can return, not even sanity return, like I've never even had sanity, that it would return something different for me. And then I call my sponsor. My sponsor says, I want you to memorize the third step prayer. And I don't know anything about the third step prayer. And understand something. I was in AA 7 years already, and I didn't know anything about the step. Can you imagine? I'm in AA. There's a manual. There's instructions. There's speakers. And I heard about the third step prayer, and I never memorized the third step prayer. I'm going to tell you something. I memorize a lot of stuff today that's not life-saving. The third step prayer and memorizing it is life-saving. Why is it life-saving? Because when I want to get in my own way and I say, God, I offer myself to you to build with me or thee to build with me and do with me as thou will. And I do that prayer and I get on my knees in the middle of the day. This is what happens to a guy like me. I actually not just physically turn my will in my life, or I take my spirit and I take my spirit out of my hands and I take my spirit and I put it into God's hands. And usually at this time, I ask the entire meeting to get on their knees, and it's very powerful. We love doing it. It's a powerful experience. But what I'm going to ask you just is to just repeat their prayer after me. We're going to do it together. Look at your cards. Take a moment. Let's get... God, I offer myself to thee,
to build with me and to do with me as thou wilt. Relieve me of the bondage of self, so that I may better do thy will. Take away my difficulties, that victory over them may bear witness to those I would help, of thy power and thy love and thy way of life. May I do thy will always.
And I say amen, and my friends say amen, and we say amen. And why do we say amen? Because it's not in the big book. You can't say it. It's right there. It says the words are but optional. We say amen because amen means we agree with the prayer. You know, I want to share something with you. There's a lot of people that are saying a lot of things from different podiums, like they have the way. The big book of Alcoholics Anonymous is very clear. AA is but a spiritual kindergarten. They may have the way of kindergarten. Great. But there's many ways to God, and there's many ways to sobriety, and Alcoholics Anonymous is one of them, and I love it, and I love AA, and I'm in AA, I'm not going anywhere. We love it. I follow men like Paul and Maddie and Peter and Michael, and I love Alcoholics Anonymous, and Marion, I love Alcoholics Anonymous. But I don't hang on to every word that's in the big book, like if it's a thee or a thou, that it's going to destroy my program, because it's not.
I follow a God that wrote the big book. I follow the God that wrote the third step. I follow the God that got us sober. And if you follow that God, you're not going to follow the God that is the big book. Big book is not a God. This is not the Holy Grail. This is a great medium. It's a great tool. It's a great book. It's ordained by God, but it's not God. You know, it's amazing how sometimes we get misled by people that are saying, this is the way. No, it's a great way. It's an awesome way. And in the third step prayer, it reminds me that I'm not the way. I'm not the truth. And I'm not the life. It's God that's the truth, the way, and the life. And if I want to follow that way, am I going to get the things that Peter and Marion and Michael and everybody has? Of course I'm going to. And it's going to be awesome. But I have to remember that I'm a baby in a baby program that's only been around 80 plus years. That's based along about books that have been around thousands of years. And am I looking to change anything in the first 164 pages? No. But I want to find out more about the one that wrote the first 164 pages. And that's not Bill W. And that's not Dr. Bob. They are the vessels. They are the vestibules. They are the channels to which God's power and infinite grace and mercy wrote in penmanship, where he wrote the 12 steps in 10 minutes, Bill W. If you know anything about a person that has 2.5 years of sobriety, nothing they're going to write in 10 minutes is going to stand 80 plus years with this group of crazy people. We can't even decide what size coffee cups we're going to use in an AA meeting. Let me tell you, my friend, if you ever go to a business meeting, which I don't recommend going right away at all, they spend 5 business meetings to decide whether they're going to do 8 ounce or 10 ounce. So how is a person with 2.5 years of sobriety ever going to be able to write the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous? What does Miss Jackie say? But God. What is my choice to be? Turn my will and my life over to the care of me? I did that. I crashed my ship. I shipwrecked. It didn't work. So I get to the big book, and on page 62, it tells me that we had a new employer, being all powerful. All sorts of remarkable things followed. If we stayed close to him and performed his work well, who's his? God. I don't believe in God. It doesn't matter if you don't believe in God. I don't care if I don't believe in gravity. It doesn't make it not true. I go to the top of the building. I don't believe in gravity. What happened to Steve? He's smushed on the cement. He's a little coin. He fell off the... What happened? He didn't believe in gravity. He just had a problem with gravity. When he was younger, gravity did him wrong. And so he just jumped. And it turns out gravity won. You see how ridiculous that is? To have a problem with the Creator? Now, am I saying that my concept of God didn't mean your concept? No. You just need to know that here's the concept. You're not God. And if you're still having a problem with God after what I just said, then there's 3 different things I want you to hear tonight about step 3. There's G-O-D, group of drunks. That's this whole meeting. This is a group of drunks. And a group of drunks, of course, is going to be more powerful than you. So if you still are having a problem with God, don't worry. The big book says it doesn't matter. Whatever your concept of God, however inadequate, is a great place to start. And Alcoholics Anonymous is all inclusive, not exclusive. So if you don't believe in God, we still want you here. You could believe in the group of drunks, my friend that I met tonight, who seems like a very wonderful man. If you don't believe in God, you can believe in a group of drunks. That's G-O-D. And this is meeting, which has been going on for decades, which is so well done and in integrity and so well put together. This group of drunks will probably be here next Thursday night because they've been coming here for years and years and years in integrity. That's group of drunks. And then there's your inner circle of people that is another G-O-D, which is good orderly direction. What does that mean? Isn't that G-O-D good? What is good orderly direction? I hear people, I think even my sponsor comes up here, not to put my sponsor down, I'm not. He's an amazing man, perfect, not perfect, wonderful, not perfect. And I think he puts down group of drunks. Oh, no, he puts down good orderly direction. But I look at it a different way. I'm not disagreeing with him. 44 years of sobriety, 23 years of sobriety. I'm not putting this group up. Group of drunks help me all the time. John's in my group of drunks. My sponsor's in my group of drunks. Jerry's in my group of drunks. Peter Marinelli's in my group of drunks. Marion's in my group of drunks. Group of drunks help me all the time. What does the Bible say about a group of drunks? Wisdom comes in a multitude of counsel. That's G-O-D, group of drunks. So now I have good orderly direction. I messed it up. I apologize. The counsel that you have around you is good orderly direction. Okay? Call up Maddie. Maddie, what do you think about this? Maddie's got 38 years of sobriety, something like that. Paul's got 40. What do you think of that? That's good orderly direction. I go to my meeting, group of drunks. So now I have these two lower G gods. Group of drunks, the people that I have around me for counsel. And I have good orderly direction. I have group of drunks. I have those little G gods. But now I have to have for myself, I have to have in the third step, because it doesn't say I turn my will and my life over to a group of drunks. It doesn't say I turn my will and my life over to good orderly direction. It says that I get to turn my will and my life over to a father, that we were his children. Try that on when you get home tonight. Go to the mirror and say to the mirror, if you don't believe in God, I don't believe in you, but I want to believe in a father. And I want to be your child and have a one-on-one conversation with God and see what happens. The big book says that God is not looking to make hard terms for those that seek him. He's not trying to play hide and seek. He doesn't love Guy more than he loves me. He doesn't love Paul more than he loves you. He doesn't have any favorites. If you call him father, you're his favorite. He's got your picture on his fridge. It's a big fridge. Now, where am I getting all this information? Because it sounds like I'm spewing a lot of stuff. I get all this information from the Big Book of Alcoholics and everything. And the thing that you're not going to hear from me in the next three or four weeks, I'm not sure what it is, but I'm so blessed to be here. You're not going to hear that this is the way. This is the only way. And if you don't do it this way, and if you say amen at the end of the third step prayer, you're not doing the program right. And if you don't follow it through like this, you're going to go to hell. None of that is true. I met people in my life that have good, incredible sobriety. I know I'm not recommending this. Don't freak out. Don't run out of here. Don't uninvite me. That didn't even know about the steps. Maddie does too. They didn't know about the steps. They knew about meetings. They didn't do the steps, but they carried the 12th step every day of their life. They didn't formally work the steps, but they do all the steps without formally knowing it. Now, do I recommend that? No, I recommend formally doing the steps and then carrying it out in your life. I want to share this incredible story I heard this weekend from this man from Ireland, Paul from Dublin. And if you have a chance to listen to this man, it's incredible. And he shared about how in his hometown of Dublin, this is Alcoholics Anonymous. This is what I want to share with you, my friend. That in Alcoholics Anonymous, they had the war, the big problem. They had the Catholics and the Protestants. They were killing each other. I'm not sure about the politics of that. If you want to know more, Linda's here. Maddie's here. There's a whole Irish contingency right in that area. You'll be able to talk to them and try to discern what they're saying. And in this meeting, there was a man, and one of the men from the other side in this little town, not little town, but Dublin, the man came in and stabbed this man in the neck. And he was in surgeries for the next 10 years or 5 years, and he was pronounced dead 3 times. The man stabbed him because he was the opposite side, whether it was the Protestant or the Catholic. I'm not sure the whole thing. Linda can explain to you. And I'm not doing it as a joke. This is true. And he went to kill the man, and the man did die 3 times. But the man survived, and he was in Alcoholics Anonymous, and they're in this meeting in Dublin, and they're having this meeting, and this other man walks in, and the whole meeting goes silent because they know that the man that just walked in is the man that in a pub one night took the knife and stabbed the man in the neck. And everybody is silent. And the man that is still disabled to this day, a upstanding member of Alcoholics Anonymous, stood up from his chair and nobody knows what they're going to do, because in this part of the island, they kill you 5 generations for retribution. They didn't know what was going to happen. And the man from Alcoholics Anonymous went up to the man that was shaking, that just came in the door, that stabbed him in the neck, and gave him a cup of coffee, and helped him to sit down in a chair, and said, "Welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous. We've been waiting for you." That's the program that you're in. That's what you just came into tonight. We put aside all differences, all politics, all previous associations, and we serve one God of your understanding. We turn our will and our lives over to the care of God. Let me share something with you. That man from Dublin, Ireland, if he didn't turn his will and his life over to the care of God, he would have been just like everybody else that was killing the next person that came along, because that was the thing, right, Linda? That's the thing you have to do. You have to stick up for your family. And if someone killed you and your family, you have to go kill their family. But that man in Alcoholics Anonymous said, "I believe so much in God and his sovereignty, and that he put together Alcoholics Anonymous, that it's more important for me to carry the 12 step to the man that came in the door." And he put all that away and welcomed that man into Alcoholics Anonymous. If you're not having remarkable go on in your life, if you're having a life and you've been in AA a while and your life is just hanging in there, like you see someone and they've been here a while, not the man that just came in for the first, not, but you've seen someone for a while. They come in week after week, hanging in there. What, how many sponsees do you have? Well, here's the deal. Don't judge Alcoholics Anonymous. They're not in AA. They're in something. BB. CC. The program of Alcoholics Anonymous is outlined in this book. It's not to be taken that if you don't do every word, you're not going to make it. But if you want to have a life that's happy, joyous, and free. Listen, let me share some with you, and then I'll end. There's some amazing cooks. My mother is an amazing cook. I mean amazing. If I want to get what she makes, she's the greatest Italian cook you've ever seen. If I want to get the way that her cooking is, I don't come up with my own recipe of the thing that I think is amazing that my mom cooks. And some of you guys are great bakers. You know how to put something in the oven and you bake it and it comes out and it's delicious and it's a cake. And there's a formula. 35 minutes at this amount of degrees, and you mix it up in a bowl and it's got eggs and it's got flour and it's got sugar and it's got baking powder or soda. I'm not sure which one of them. I just do crack, so I don't remember. And you mix it up in a bowl and you put it in a pan and you bake it at 350 degrees for 45 minutes. And when it comes out, it resembles your lives. It resembles an amazing cake. But if I try to change that, because I don't have the time to do the recipe that you taught me, and I put it in at 500 degrees at 15 minutes, then it's a tortilla. And a tortilla is not a cake. And you're not going to have the same experience with a tortilla. It's not going to be fluffy. It's going to be crunchy. And I want to share something with you, because I'm looking at some of you. Some of you have very crunchy faces because you've skipped the process. You think that being sober is the answer. Being sober is not the answer. You will get sober with a relationship with God. Being sober is a byproduct of a relationship with God. But then your face will be soft and not crunchy. God bless you.
Let's thank our speaker again, Stevie B. have tonight's session and all our speakers' podcasts for free at alcoholicsandgod.org. Again, I'd like to invite everyone to our Monday night big book study meeting. It's right in this building upstairs, Monday nights at 7:15. Those who wish to thank the speaker tonight, please line up down on the center aisle. Everything Stevie said was right, except we're not going to be here next week. It's Thanksgiving next week. So we're going to go the week after. Yeah. And after the meeting, can you help us stack some of the chairs in the back 10 high? And now let's close the meeting with the Lord's Prayer. Seated. Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, forever and ever.
Thirsty bodies aching. I am desperately in need of restoration. Yeah, and I am ready for you to take me higher. Yeah, the only thing that I can do.
whistles and sighs, and oh, when you're smiling. Smiling, the whole world smiles with you, baby, baby. Yes, when you laughing, when you laughing. The sun comes shining through, but when you crying, you bring on the rain. So stop your sighing, baby, and be happy. Yes, and keep on smiling. Keep on smiling, baby. And I hope it's mine.
Everywhere I go, I'm gonna let it shine. Everywhere crystal light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine, let it shine, 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 let it shine. Out in the dark.
Michael Chase, here's that song you've been asking me for a million years. I finally pulled it out the corners of my mind, and here you go. Song is. God bless. I love you, Mike Chase. Bye.
I think you know this one, don't you? Long shine a light on me tonight. Ooh, Lord, shine a light on me tonight. Ooh, there ain't no place for a woman like me. My hands are dirty, but my soul is clean. So, Lord, shine a light on me. These hands right down to the bone. I work these hands right down to the bone. I've worked so hard for someone I don't know. I watch these walls be bought and sold. So low. Tape. Got one man that just won't say.